Good morning, everyone. What a wonderful day God's given us today to come to Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. I want to welcome you all to our services here at Fruitland Baptist. It's a great day to be alive. It's a great time to be in a personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoying all the wonderful benefits and blessings that He gives to us. Before we start today and stand to sing, I just want to make it known that these extra displays of flowers here today are here in memory of Ken Weichert, Rose's husband, who passed into eternity here in the last several days. And so be in prayer for that family and mindful of that at their loss at this time. But let's stand this morning and rejoice. If you have a hymnal or else it's on the screen, I do believe, number 650. Again, we are not here just as consumers. We're here as producers, as I like to say so often. And if you're a born-again believer in Christ today, we have a message and a mandate to bring to the world. So go ye into all the world, number 650. Far, far away, in darkness dwelling, millions of souls forever may be lost. Who then will go, nation storytelling, looking to Jesus, counting not the cost? All power is given unto me. All power is given unto me. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you always. See o'er the world wide open doors inviting. Christians awake, lighting, send forth the gospel, break the chains of sin. All power is given unto me. All power is given unto me. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you all. Of God is calling. You die, echo in His name. Jesus hath died to save from death appalling, and salvation therefore go proclaim. All power is given unto me. All power is given unto me. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Oh, I am with you always. God speed the day when those of every nation to God triumphantly shall sing, ransomed, redeemed, rejoicing in salvation. Hallelujah, for the Lord is King. All power is given unto me. All power is given unto me. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you always. Amen. Let's remain standing and go to prayer here as we begin our service. Welcome again to one and all. Our Heavenly Father, we come today assembled as the local church on the first day of the week, celebrating your resurrection. This is a day of celebration and joy for the redeemed. And Lord, we acknowledge today that you are indeed the creator, the sustainer, and the redeemer of this universe. And we thank you today that you saw fit to send your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come take the penalty of sin in our place and to bear our sins and shed his blood to cover our sins, to atone for our sins, and to rise again the third day, guaranteeing and as the prototype for eternal life and resurrection. So, Lord, today we come to you not rejected or dejected, but we come to you triumphant and what you have accomplished for us on the cross. And we thank you for everyone today that's come through these doors. Lord, you've answered prayers. There's so many folks here today I've been praying for, and we're just so glad to see even the Baggetts today, Lord, that we haven't seen in a long time. So, Lord, this is a great day. This is dress rehearsal for when we'll be with you forever. And, Lord, I just pray today as we look into the season of graduation here for just a moment or two, that, Lord, you'd help us to all examine our lives, and, Father, that we would walk in close fellowship with you this day and forevermore. Now, Lord, also today we realize we live in this broken world, and that was not your fault, Lord. It's man's, and we have to understand that and fully accept why things are the way they are. But, Lord, we know there are things that are difficult today in people's lives. And we have the idea, Lord, again, of death and illnesses and all kinds of things that have affected all of us today, Lord, in one way or another. But we thank you again that you are the overcomer and you've helped us to overcome in those cases. Lord, I ask that you would come alongside all of us that are in those situations and help us this day. Now, Lord, may our hearts be motivated toward you this morning and our worshipful desire to please you and to thank you. And, Lord, again, we pray for our community around us, friends, neighbors, family, Lord, that need you today. Help us to be reflectors of your light this day and in the days to come, that we might make a difference for you, Lord. Now we ask these things and thank you again and ask your presence, Lord. And you've said you'll be here where two or more are gathered. And so may this be a day that is found pleasing in your sight, and may it be a day that edifies the believer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Again, we're thankful for a nice group out this morning. I trust God's at work in your life today. You may also have noticed that we do not have choir today, and that's going to be the case for a while anyway, and through the summer very likely for various reasons. But understand, after this Sunday, we probably will insert another hymn into our service because of the lack of our choir temporarily. So be in prayer for that and for the ministry of music here at Fruitland Baptist Church. But with that in mind, we need to take a look at what is coming in the week or weeks ahead, and some of that is found on the right-hand side of your bulletins. So let me just start with what we have printed there. Again, come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We're investigating the gifts of the Spirit in the next several weeks. We started last week. Glad to have you at 6 o'clock tonight. Also, I'll go down the list here. There is a meeting of the music committee, but more explicitly, it's a meeting of everyone that participates in music from the perspective of special music and so forth on Sunday mornings. We need to meet right after the morning service today for just a few minutes up front here somewhere, if at all possible. Also, Senior Saints, this is the last call on this. I had no feedback. But if you want to meet again or do some little things and have opportunities to invite others for maybe little tours or different things that we might do and want to reinvigorate that, please let me know. Otherwise, we'll drop that for a while and just go as the Lord leads. Also, Mrs. Helen Jondal's Celebration of Life will be next Saturday at 1 o'clock at Walnut Park Baptist Church. That is the mother of Woodrow and Kay, a dear lady. And so we want you to be aware of that. Deacon meeting this Thursday at 7 p.m. Women's Bible study on the 22nd at 10 a.m. Men's retreat meeting today at 4:30 p.m. And don't forget, there will be a Memorial Day service at the Fruitland Cemetery at 9 o'clock on Memorial Day, the 31st of May. You'll notice my thoughts for the week there, but a couple other things that are important. Also, there will be a quarterly business meeting Sunday evening, June 13th. And so if there are needs, I've already talked with Lisa about VBS, some other things. But if you have agenda items for that meeting, that will be our regular quarterly business meeting. Please get those to myself or to Deb in the next few weeks here, if possible. At least a week ahead, if possible, before that meeting. Also, if you come to prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, and I invite all of you to come, but there are some anticipated changes that we're going to look into to improve that. So if you're a regular attender or you anticipate that you're going to begin to attend, this Wednesday night we will have our time of prayer and we'll have a quick devotional. But we'll spend that meeting chiefly talking about some ideas of what to do to see that improved as we've done a survey, and I've got several of those back. The deacons will look into that this coming Thursday night in our meeting as well, but anticipate some changes for the better, hopefully at least to meet the needs better to the glory of God with our prayer meeting and Bible study in our midweek service. Now, I've rattled off a lot of things. Is there anything that I haven't let you know about this morning that we need to know about? Okay, well then at this time, we're going to go to prayer. And again, if you have an offering today for the Lord, the receptacles are there on the back table. The ushers will be glad to help you in any way if there's a need. But we're just delighted again that God's grace continues to prevail yet today. And as we go to prayer and thank the Lord for the opportunity to give, let's also remember today that we need to check our hearts now as we are in a worship service. And I just want to give you a verse this morning that was brought to my mind. Psalm 19:14, and this is a good thing to think about now as we go to prayer and about this worship service. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." May that be the case today. Shall we go to prayer? Our Heavenly Father, thanks once again for your goodness so wondrously displayed in front of us. Lord, we're reminded every day, whether there are clouds that cover the sky or a clear day when the sun is plainly visible, that your light still shines. And that's a reminder that your Son, the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, is still shining. He's holding forth his light. Lord, we're reflectors of that light if we're a born-again believer here today. And I pray, Lord, that our light would shine brightly. Help us not to hide our candle under a bushel, but let it be used on the lampstand, Lord, all the days that you give us. Lord, this has been quite a week. A lot of things have happened. We know, Lord, in our world, the turmoil and chaos as a result of sin and in our nation continues to manifest itself right in front of our very eyes. Oh, Lord, we pray for a revival. We pray for hearts to be steered toward you. We pray that the Spirit would be active. Lord, in spite of all these hindrances that we see, your goodness still is apparent, as I mentioned earlier. And so now, Lord, as we anticipate, again, people that have either given or will give today, Lord, that you'll direct the believers, again, in that regard. Thank you that you have not left us helpless or hopeless. Your word governs the things that you, Lord, are pleased by in our giving, in our gifts. So, Lord, I pray that that would be the governing factor today as we give to you. And we know this, Lord. We acknowledge it all came from you anyway. Who are we, Lord, to rob you? Now, Lord, I pray for our hearts as we go into this service. This will be a service that's directed chiefly toward graduates from high school and college. But I believe, Lord, it has an application for all of us. And so, Lord, I pray today your Spirit would have free reign as we look into your word, and the power of the word would be brought to practice in the lives of the hearers today. Now bless this time, Lord, and the time to follow, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. This time, Autumn's going to present a special for us.
This morning I'll present a song called The Power of the Cross by Keith Getty and Stuart Townend. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. This the power for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life. Finished the victory. Crushed to death, life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This the power of the cross, Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost, we stand forgiven
Powerful song. Powerful message. Well, thank you, Autumn and Barb, for that. Appreciate that. You know, we are not defeated. We are triumphant in Jesus Christ. We don't want to get ourselves too far down, because I'll tell you what, He has raised us up. And He will raise us to be in the high places with Him for all eternity. Well, today is our graduation message, and so I'm scanning out into our audience today. And do I see Faith Carroll here today? I thought it. Yes, there she is. I knew I saw you earlier. And actually, there are several potential folks that have ties to Fruitland. I have Bibles here if they would have been here today. But Faith, you're the only one that I know of. Is that correct? And Faith, I'm going to have you come up if that's all right. Will you be embarrassed? Not clear up here. But Faith, you did receive a Bible when you graduated high school, and that's when we give those out. But I have some here, in case you wondered. If you know some graduates that didn't make it today and they want their Bible, have them come see me. That's an interesting thing, you know. Many times, I won't keep you up here a long time, Faith, I know. Believe me, I know. A lot of times when young folks graduate from high school, it's the last time we see them darken the doors. In fact, one year when I handed out Bibles, I told a couple of them, I said, could I give you a map? And they looked at me kind of funny. I said, so you remember how to get back to church. Faith, I'm glad you're here today. Yeah. Tell us the good news. You've been faithful. Well, you have to be. Your name's Faith. Tell us the good news about Scott Community College conferring a what on you?
What? I got my degree. I graduated. My associate
from Applied Science. And I believe if you choose to go to Unity Point Trinity facilities, Faith may be doing some of the tech work on your radiology. Oh. Wow. But that's not the end, is it, Faith? Didn't I hear there's some aspirations to go? So there you go. Faith, we just are so thankful to see that and to see you here at church today. God will bless you. He already has. And anyway, let's recognize Faith again. You can sit down now unless you want to stand up here with me. So, okay. Thanks, Faith. We appreciate that. Well, the other night, and we do have several others. There's at least five that Kim and I came up with that potentially could have been here today. I won't give their names out today, but because I'm afraid I'll miss someone. But anyway, it is a unique time of the year, isn't it? Where the word for that is matriculate. No, that's not a bad word. But it just means we have achieved a certain degree of proficiency that is recognized, and that's what graduation is about. And high school graduation or college graduation is an important thing, and it's important in many of the lives that we have. Well, I did make a mistake, Faith. Would you stand again? I'll come back with you this time. But let's pray for our graduates right at this time and for the message, and then we'll continue. Lord God, I just thank you again for this day, and we thank you today for Faith being with us and for her point in life, and we see her here regularly, and we give you thanks for that, Lord. She's interested in you. And Lord, we thank you that you've seen her through her two-year degree up at Scott Community College. It's to work with people, and Lord, that's a wonderful thing because it gives her a platform again for you in her job. So, Lord, I pray you would bless her now with this stage of her life and her employment, but also in the education she may seek further in life. And, Lord, whether that's academic education or hopefully, Lord, she'll pursue her education in you even further. All of us will today. And, Lord, we also know that you have degrees from the School of Hard Knocks, and many of us have acquired those as well. So, Lord, show us and train us and learn, you know, help us to learn in the things that we experience in life, how you are relevant in them. So we pray for all of our graduates today, whether they're here or not, and Lord, again, that this message might be something that we all consider in any circumstance that we have in life, because in a sense, Lord, every new day is a challenge and a new field of opportunity from this point on until you take us home to be with you. So, Lord, may you bless this message. May you anoint my lips today for the speaking.
And Lord, may the Spirit have free reign in the lives of the people here today, including mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Faith. Sorry about that. Anyway, last Wednesday night, I had the privilege of speaking the baccalaureate service at L&M. And let me just say, well, and here is one of our graduates. Praise God. Okay.
No, that's right.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. He's coming. Okay. All right. Well, from a distance, and when you come in that door in the light. Well, when Emmanuel gets in here, we'll award him this Bible, and I'll write in it after the service for him today. By the way, there are quite a few Bibles that I've had over the years that never did get into the hands of the graduates, and I still have them in the office. So tell them to head over and see us. Anyway, I had the opportunity and privilege to speak down at L&M on Wednesday evening, the baccalaureate service. And I'm pleased to announce today as well that that was very well attended this time. Over 20 children. Well, not we're all children, but 20 graduates. And a good group of parents and other interested people, which was a marked change. I'd been praying that that might happen. I've seen attendance at that service, at that event, down to maybe like 7 people, haven't we, Kim, before? But it was a very good turnout. And so today I'm going to bring you a derivative of that message. It'll have the same, it's all the same, and it'll have a relevance for all of us, I believe, today. But the title of that message is Four Principles That Produce Lasting Results in Your Life for God. And the text for that is found in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. So I'd want to know if you'd stand with me this morning to honor God's word. I'm going to read Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, and then we'll pray once again, and you may be seated after that. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, the word of the Lord to Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." A reading from God's word. Let's pray. Father, may you bless us this morning in our lives as we absorb what you have for us, Lord. And again, I ask that you'd bless and keep these graduates in the days to come. Lord, preserve them for your service and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please be seated. Well, of course, you know, you need to have some kind of a little icebreaker when you speak in situations like that, even here at church. And I don't always get that done, and some of you all know, already know that I'm pretty serious-minded about the Word of God, and so I still like to have some fun and everything, but I'll tell you how I opened up the service at the L&M Baccalaureate the other night before I spoke the Word. And what I told them is that they didn't realize how much I cared about L&M because of the fact that I've placed my life in jeopardy many times for the sake of that school and for those classes. And I'm talking tongue-in-cheek here a little bit, okay? And then I told them that Kim and I were alumni of that school that from down there is about 25 miles that away. And we have that mascot that has buck teeth and a webbed tail. And as a part of the rat family, the beavers. Who said that already? Yeah, Jaden, you're on top of things today. And then I told him all the different times that Kim and I had struggled when we went to athletic events or other situations. I told him about 2 years ago when Wilton had their homecoming and L&M played Wilton. And isn't this right, Kim? And Kim and I sat on the L&M side. Shirley, you were there. You remember that. You know, people were looking at Kim and I. why are you sitting over there on that side? You know, I think we lost some friends that night, didn't we, Kim? And so I said, yeah, you know, we put our lives in jeopardy for L&M school at the homecoming. You remember that, Shirley, that night? Yeah. And I went on to tell him, and I said, also, my wife has a brother. I have a brother-in-law that was an educator, or is, yet he's retiring a few more weeks to go from CJ, Columbus Junction, which I know there's a kind of a bitter rivalry between L&M and Columbus Junction. They don't hit it off, right? We need to work on that. Anyway, so when we would go to games down toward that way, whether it be at L&M or Columbus Junction, Kim and I had to always make a choice there, because if we sat on the wrong side of things there, we'd be in trouble with L&M or with her brother. So Kim and I have dealt with a lot of distress over the years. No, not really. You know us better than that. But I just joke with him a little bit about that. But seriously, I think it's important that we consider what lies ahead for young folks and even for us oldsters. We face some challenging times, and times that, like the Bible says in Timothy, you know, that'll take your breath away with all the pace that things are moving and all the things that are going on. And yet, you know, we understand that the sovereignty of God never changes, does it? His word never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. And so we have a life-changing book that's in front of us, and it's a book that's good even through transitions of life, which is the case. So this is what I had to say to the graduates at L&M the other night, and I hope that with a few modifications this will be profitable for us today. And so Faith, graduating class, and Emmanuel of 2021, congratulations on your achievements. Whether it be from community college with an AA or high school degree. And we saw there again at that presentation down at L&M, the awards night. And let me just tell you this. You would not believe, $550,000+ of scholarships and awards were given out that night. And I joked also with the crowd there that night. I said, you know, those scholarships and awards are so neat, it makes me want to go back to school. Well, maybe not, I said then after. But as I said earlier in the prayer, whether or not you're in academia, you still are in school. I'm still in school. And I have not arrived. That is definitely the fact. Manuel, good to see you this morning. Yeah, hi. Congratulations on your milestone. And I want to award you this Bible. If you'll stick around afterward, I'll even endorse it for you. On behalf of Fruitland Baptist Church. So, Emmanuel Walker. All right. Glad to have you here this morning. Now, let's see, where was I again here? Anyway, as I mentioned there, I wish all of us well in our future endeavors, especially, and this is the key on this, as we consider God's part of the plan for your life and how you and I might produce lasting results for him. And this is the key, folks, that are more important than any award, prestige, influence, bank account, or any other achievement that appeals to the human experience. What we do for God matters. And what we don't do for God matters. And the consequences of our approach to the Lord are eternal. The consequences of that are eternal. And so we had a nice crowd down there at L&M the other night for all the awards that were handed out. But have you ever considered this? God's already handed out a lot of awards to us. And like I mentioned in Sunday school today, Kim gave me this little quip this morning. I don't know where it came from. But we know that there was a terrorist attack on one of the pipeline companies that delivers fuel this past week. You talk about volatile times, and there's a lot of that going on, and it'll hit home even more. But as Kim mentioned, some people wait in line for hours to get 5 gallons of gas because they're afraid to run out of gas. How many people are willing to give 5 minutes to the Lord? We got some problems, don't we, folks? But realize this, God has given us many capabilities to bring Him honor and glory. And these are achievements that will last throughout all eternity. Living for the Lord and doing things God's way will never be easy. Do you agree with me? Some of you that have been around for a while in here, I'm still relatively young. But is it easy to serve the Lord? Many times it's not, is it? Sometimes it's the more difficult way. But it's the right way. And the thing is, folks, it will be worth it. And most importantly, it's what He wants from us. We just sang about that, didn't we, this morning? We have a message and we have a mandate. How are we doing on that, folks? By the way, God has graduations as well. When is His graduation? It's when He calls us home. Because that means what? Our schooling on this side of eternity is done. We're still in school today, all of us, no matter what age. Amen? We better hit the book. The books. Anyway, it will never be easy. But never forget what God recorded to Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:9 when we think about this. We all are persuaded by Satan to go after the awards and the rewards that appeal to the human flesh. But this is what God told Paul. He says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love Him." This stuff here matters on this side of eternity, but what matters most is what comes after eternity. And let me tell you something, there's going to be an award ceremony there like none other. God knows, and we will be accountable for what we've done. It's important, folks. And let me just say this, that God has a plan for you and I that will produce results for Him and rewards for you if you will follow His principles. And that brings us to the four little principles that I want to share from that text this morning. So this morning, four principles that produce results for God in your life from Joshua 1, 6 through 9. And again, this is just a limited message today. There are many more points and principles that you can come up with. You'll find them if you're looking in the book. So here we go this morning as we consider what was taking place there in Joshua chapter 1. Can anyone give me a quick summation of what was going on there? Was it business as usual with God? Ho-hum, hum-drum, up 2, 3, 4? Or was there something dynamic going on there? By the way, there is no such thing as ho-hum, hum-drum with God. Every moment with Him is dynamic. But here's what it is, folks, that was going on. Israel had been delivered from Egypt, from bondage, for over 400 years. God took them miraculously across the Red Sea. They got into the Promised Land, and within a day, you can check the record on that, what did they begin to do? This isn't what we wanted. It's hard. Right? And they monkeyed around for 40 years in the desert. It was called the Desert of Zin, by the way, the Desert of Sin, because what Israel basically did before the Lord God, who mightily delivered them with His strong arm out of bondage, is they did what? They complained and whined, and a good many of them died in that 40-year period because they wouldn't listen to God. Even old Moses got himself into some trouble, and Moses was a great leader, a great servant. But he even got in trouble obeying God as their leader. Because remember what God told him to do, Moses? These people are thirsty. Speak to the rock. But remember what Moses did? He is so mad. And I'm telling you, folks, I can get into this position too. It is hard to see what goes on in the lives of people today. As a servant of the Lord, what goes on in my life? Sometimes I'd like to strike the rock. But Moses not only struck it once, he struck it twice. And God said, Moses, I understand where you're at, but because you didn't do it my way, you'll see the promised land from Mount Pisgah, but you'll never what? Enter into it. And who ended up going in? Joshua. Never forget old Joshua and Caleb. They were two guys that were walking with the Lord. They walked by faith, not by sight. Remember? When they went in to investigate the promised land, they said, we can easily take what's there. While all the rest of the naysayers said, it can't be done. There's giants and everything else. But with God, nothing is impossible, right? Well, here's the thing. Israel was in a transition. They were moving into a new phase. God had given them the promised land. They messed around 40 years. And now God gave them the instructions to enter the promised land because this was like a graduation for them. They were going to cross the creek, the Jordan River, and they were headed into new territory with God. If you're a graduate here or have been a graduate, we know that's how life is, isn't it? In fact, even today is not ho-hum, hum-drum. Because we are entering a new phase of our life and our ministry and our activity for God this very moment. It changes all the time. The mandate doesn't, but the field does that we work in, doesn't it? So he says, here are some pointers that will help you to be successful. Now we know already the rest of the story. In fact, yet today there's rockets flying in a small nation called Israel. Israel had a hard time getting it right. So do we. The recompense for our sin is long-lasting. But the fact of the matter is, if we'll do it God's way, he says we'll be prosperous and successful. And isn't that what everyone wants today? Well, they don't want God's prosperity and success. They want what? Man's. Like what I mentioned earlier. More on that later. But here's the first point before we get into trouble. By the way, I spoke this whole message in less than 10 minutes. But this is the expanded version here because you pay me. Here's the first principle. Have faith and stand without fear. You've got this on your sheet. Have faith and stand without fear. Now, I'm not going to review this whole text. You heard it read and you've got it before you either on your device or in a paper Bible. By the way, there's extra Bibles up here. See if you need a Bible. And you'll notice if you look through those four verses that I read that God told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. How many times? Three times is what the count was that I came up with. God basically told him what? Stand up and go. I can't remember the count, but Kathy gave this in Sunday school this morning. 364 or 365. I think it's 365 times God says, fear not to his people. Through his word. In other words, God says every day, if you want to look at it from that perspective, don't fear. Trust me. Stand up and do it. I've told you before what my dad used to say, people work harder at not working than to just go and do the job. You think there's some truth to that? Oh yeah. So Joshua was told, as he led the nation of Israel across the creek, he says, be strong and of good courage three times. Why do you think God said it three times? We've talked about that before. Because usually for some thick-headed people, by the third time they're told, some of it might penetrate the skull. I think Joshua got the message, and I think he did his very best to communicate it to Israel. Whether it all fit, we have evidence that it probably didn't, but God told them. And you know what? If they'd have done it exactly like he said, it would have been wonderful. But we've been studying on Wednesday nights here lately. They didn't do it. They didn't do what God said in totality. They got part of it done, but not all of it, right? Well, you miss the blessings if you don't do it the whole way. Anyway, what Joshua was told by God is to place our trust in him completely and move forward without fear. You've heard me say this before. There is no neutral in God's gearbox. If you're not moving forward, you're moving. If you're static, which means you're not moving, you're going backwards. God says, get with it. Move forward and do not fear. You know, the bottom line here, as I mentioned that night, is everyone here this morning needs to examine our personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know we're in the New Testament era. This is Old Testament, but the principles still apply. If you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, or if your faith in Jesus Christ today is lacking, you are in danger of not completing the mission that you've been sent on, of what God wants you to do. So I ask us today, are we in a personal faith walk, in a relationship with Jesus who loves us and died for our sins? We call it salvation. But what it really comes down to is what? Have you been delivered by Jesus Christ from the power of sin, death, and the devil in the flesh? And if you haven't, today the book says we ought to do it. Jesus gave us the pass. And if you have and you're lacking today, and I can admit to you today I'm lacking. I think all of us here today could be able to say that. We need to what? We need to redouble our efforts to draw closer to Him. Because what He tells us in the book of James is if you'll draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. Jesus loved us and died for our sins. And then, to top it all off, He rose on the third day and He guaranteed us new life. And through that, He invoked power upon us. We are not dead people, we are living people. We are alive in Jesus Christ, or at least we need to be. His resurrection power was applied to our lives if we've allowed it to be. And my friends, it will give us the power needed to stand by faith. Get a little backbone, Christians. Those that are not believers that could be among us this morning, run to that Savior. And He'll give you the power. See, because what we have apart from Jesus Christ is not power. It's a false hope, and it's not truly from the power of God. We need to have our lives filled with the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, by faith and without fear, and it will allow you to triumph. Now, I'm going to say more on that in a few minutes, but folks, that's what it's going to take for real success. It's success in God's eyes, not in man's. But the power to triumph, once again, I'm having a hard time with my pages here. Because, folks, we need to triumph in the Lord because, you know, there's going to be a lot of tests. And if we don't pass the tests, we won't inherit the blessings. And that's what God wants for us. No, it may not be all the materialistic things, but the true blessings of God come in what He has given us at the cross. And the power that He's endued us with that comes through His Word and the power of the resurrection. So that's the first point in a nutshell there that you find from that the verses there in Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Have faith and stand without fear. Have faith and stand without fear. Brings us to the second principle that Joshua illustrates very well here. This is found in verses 7 and 8 if you're looking in your text, and I won't read them again. But this is the second principle. Know and live the book. Know and live the book. What book am I talking about here? Joshua said, this book of the law. Now we're all saying, oh, the Old Testament was all about law. Yeah, the New Testament's all about grace. But let me tell you what, both still have an effect. But what the law of God is His Word. Even the New Testament is the law of God. It's telling us where He's at on things with us. Who He is. The book. 66 book Bible. Know and live the book. Make it a priority to know, Joshua tells us in this text, but to not only know it, but what? To practice it. That's right. The Apostle James said what? Be ye not doers of the word only, but what? Or be ye not hearers of the word only, but doers. I'll get this right. You help me out here this morning. Yeah. I was talking to the students there that night about alliteration. A lot of P's came to mind in this little illustration here. but make it a priority to know and practice all of what God's Word prescribes properly, understanding it for what it says. You know, Joshua was told by God, don't divert from it to the right or to the left, but do what? Stay right in the middle of it. You will be tempted by Satan to go into the right ditch or into the left ditch regarding God's Word. You will be tempted by Satan in life, again, to reinterpret the Word of God from what it says. Here's what I want to say this morning, folks. We need to search diligently throughout our life to get the right interpretation of God's Word, and He will give that to you, not by talking to necessarily some high theologian, but the greatest theologian, the greatest teacher ever, who is the Holy Ghost of God. If you'll dig into this Word, He'll open it up in your mind, and He'll give you the message right now. No, it's not wrong to use helps and other supplemental things to get other people's opinion, but you better know God's opinion. Because you can get off in the ditch on either side. God wants us to go right down the middle, and that's what He told Joshua. You'll also remember what else He said to Joshua. Just take a few minutes to study whenever you can in the Word. Now, I'm not saying that that isn't profitable, but what did He tell Joshua? But thou shalt meditate in it. That means when? Does it mean you have to have your device or a Bible in front of your eyes every minute of every day? You might have that opportunity afforded to you, and that's a wonderful thing if you do. But the point is, we need to commit God's Word where? Doesn't mean you have to memorize the Bible, but you need to know the Bible. You need to know the book so that the Spirit can say when you're in certain situations, here's something I told you from the book. It's a reminder. It's important all the time to be involved and engaged in the Word, day and night, all the time. You will produce lasting results for God by staying in the center of His book with your life. You will produce lasting results for God by staying in the center of His book with your life. Principle number three, don't get discouraged. I admit to you today, for some reason this morning, I've been a little discouraged. And I don't know why, as I think about our world, but I'm so pleased to see a good group out this morning. That is an encouragement. I like to know that I'm not alone, even though we're never alone, because the Holy Spirit's with us, isn't He? All the time. He's the down payment, the earnest of our salvation, you know. They take it to the bank. Confidence that we have in Christ and what He's done. But do you ever get discouraged? We think about people. We think about our families. We think even about our church and all kinds of different things. And there's things that come to us and we think, oh, why isn't it different? How many of you would like to see different things in your family today? How many of us would like to see, and don't raise your hand, but I'll raise mine. See things different in my attitude today. It's easy to get discouraged because Satan is the one that puts those thoughts in our heart and mind. But what did God tell Joshua? He said, don't be dismayed. Isn't that what He said in that text? Because you know what? Joshua was going to face those things too, just like the leader before him, Moses. But God told Joshua, don't let that get a hold of you. Allow the one who's given you the victory to let you accomplish the victory. You will be tempted and tested by discouragement. But remember who we are serving, folks. We're serving the God of the Bible. You see, that's what gets my head on straight this morning. This isn't about me. It's not about, this is God's deal. The whole thing is, even with our families and with people and our neighbors and the whole thing, we have to do our part, or we should do our part, but it's God's thing. He's going to deal with it. He will deal with it. Remember who we're serving. It's the God of the Bible. It's the God of all possibilities. As I said earlier, nothing shall be impossible with God. That's what God says. Remember what the Lord told Paul in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And you go through the book and you'll find all over the place in there encouragement from God. So throw it off today, folks. We don't need antidepressants. All we need to do is remember God's going to deal with these things. Do our part and leave the rest to Him. Amen. We are given the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:57. Even though we will struggle with testing and discouragement, never forget, in God, we have no reason to be discouraged. We have every reason just to trust Him and do our part and see what He's going to do, because it will be exciting. You know, God's even glorified in people that go to hell. You think about that. His sovereignty is pictured in everything that takes place. God doesn't want anyone to end up there. But you know what? People were given a free will and a choice. God will be in control of all things if we'll what? If we'll let Him. But if we have it our way, it's not like Burger King. We'll get it if we want it that way. Don't get discouraged. God's a God of victorious possibilities. Last point, last principle. Expect and experience God's prosperity and success. Expect it. Because what did He tell Joshua? I told you I wasn't going to go back to this, but He says there in the bottom of verse 8, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Well, God, that's not the success I'm looking for. I want to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. By the way, that's not too far out of the realm of possibility in our modern times. You know, money's inflated so much and it's inflating more all the time. Now you'll need to be a trillionaire to truly be happy. Let me tell you something, folks. The cash doesn't make it all happen either. Mr. and Mrs. Gates. You can have a lot of money. Elon Musk or all these other people. At least Warren still lives in his old house that he lived in Omaha all the time. But, you know, it's interesting, too, when you think about old, from what I'm seeing or hearing, about, and, we, you know, we need to pray for Bill Gates and Melinda. But, you know, what I see in the reports is that he was spending a little time with the guy that Prince Andrew was and all these other characters. What's his name? Epstein. Yeah. Well, I won't go into that further, but folks, it's like what Paul said. I'll paraphrase. He told the Lord, he says, "Just give me what I need, Lord. Not too little or too much, just what I need." This success that Satan has placed in front of people's eyes is not true success. It's a recipe for devastation and failure and destruction. Thank You, Lord, that we have enough. And that's what He says. With food and raiment, food and clothing, let us therewith be content. Anyway, success in God's eyes, which is the place we should be primarily concerned about. Paul said it was a very small thing to be judged by people in 1 Corinthians 4:3-4. But a big, important thing by what God thinks. You can look at that reference. When we do things for God, His way, as in the above points that we've looked at, we can expect prosperity and success that is fulfilling like none other. You and I know it. There's nothing better than to see something accomplished for God. There's no satisfaction or award or reward that can come close to it than the blessings of God that He showers abundantly upon us. It's like none other. There's no money, there's no possessions, there's no fame. But God's endorsement is a blessing that surpasses anything that can be bought with gold and riches. So expect and experience God's prosperity and success. At this time in the program, I asked any of the students if they were bored. None said they were. And then I reassured them that we're nearly done. And this was the expanded version this morning, and you already know why. Graduates, folks here at Fruitland this morning, I encourage us in our futures to make it a priority to produce lasting results for God with your life. Faith, I'll pick on you a little bit, but every time you take an x-ray of someone's bones, you can be thinking, how will I use this for the Lord? I'm serious about that. I can pick on you, Faith, because you'll allow it. But I'm not just picking on Faith. I'm thinking about all of us. Everything we do, we can use it for the glory of God. And it will produce lasting results with our life. It is the most important decision with eternal consequences that are at stake. Graduates, your life's like an open book. Postgraduates, our lives are still like an open book. As long as God gives us breath, we can write new pages. He'll write those pages, actually, if we'll walk with Him. Well, I close with some wisdom from the Word of God. By the way, Proverbs is a great book to go to for wisdom. Proverbs is a book of pithy sayings with relevance, meaning they'll jump out at you, and they all have relevance, but they're short and to the point, unlike my speaking. Let's say it together. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Congratulations, 2021 graduates, and those of the rest of us that are still in the school of life. May God's success and prosperity be yours. Amen. Let's take our hymnals or on the screen and stand. 559. This little chorus is "Let Jesus come into your heart." You know, we want to be careful about how we use this, but again, I'm going to say this: let Jesus come into your life today. If you've been born again here today, get re-engaged with Him no matter where we're at. But if you've never received new life in Christ, your way is not going to be successful for eternity. And it's a time today to let Jesus come into your life. It's a time today to receive His gift and call upon Him to forgive you of your sins. Place your faith and trust in that and in His blood and in the power of His resurrection in your life. If you truly mean that, you'll be saved. It's a day to get right with God, folks, for whatever comes yet on this path of life. But graduates, I encourage you today to examine where you're at in this critical juncture, because the things you do from this day forward will have eternal consequences. Never forget that. Today is a day to get right with God, no matter what we're enduring. And He's there for you today. Obviously, you can always come forward if you want to make that public. If you'd like to visit with me or another spiritual leader here at Fruitland, you come forward. We can't save you, but we can show you from the Word of God. Again, some advice that God has for us and encouragement for you today. So let's sing this today. May God be working in the lives of those here today.
If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart.
Denny, would you dismiss us today with prayer? I'll greet you at the back door.